testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
Today in the Word, and turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm going to look primarily at verse 1 and 2. And I have a title for our teaching today. And we are calling our teaching, Are You Experiencing the Grace of God? Are you experiencing the grace of God? We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, In acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Father, may we draw from this grace that you have given. Help us to understand, help us to appropriate. We ask this now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Are you experiencing the grace of God? That's what we're going to look at today. Now, we know that the grace of God is that unmerited favour. We have taught that for many years, and we've taught that in our theology teaching, and to just primarily just say what grace is, in a few words, it's that unmerited favour. But I'm not always convinced that we fully understand this grace that is graciously given to us. And how we appropriate it, how we experience it. And that's why I feel burdened to share and teach this with you today. You see, God's grace is his merciful kindness by which he exerts his holy influence and power upon a soul. I'll give that again to you. God's grace is his merciful kindness by which he exerts his holy influence and power upon our souls. So the grace of God ministered to us through the Holy Spirit is a power to help and influence our soul. In other words, you, the whole being. In nature, it's to turn us to Christ. That's what grace and mercy is. The influence in our lives, God working in us and through us, even before we were confessing Christ as our Lord and Saviour, that grace was working, influencing us to come to Christ. It was influencing us to believe, to have faith, to strengthen us. It's also to give us that knowledge. It's also there that we can endure, we can stand. The grace of God is also there to for us to produce that fruit. In many words, one could say that the grace of God is to produce Christ in and through each of us. So I think with that brief introduction, we're beginning to see why it's experience, why it's important to experience the grace of God. Now, grace is a gift. And it's, as I've already been showing, a divine influence. Grace of God influences and works on the heart of man. Without the grace of God, we have no hope. Believe me, brothers and sisters. But let's look at a few scriptures before we open up more in this, to see this wonderful work of grace. For example, let's turn to the book of Luke. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour or grace with God." There, of course, that is the announcement given to Mary of the birth of Christ. Mary found favour, found grace in God's sight. God spared Noah and his family, for he found grace in God's sight. So there we see that influence, that divine favour bestowed upon man. Let's look also in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favour with God and men." In other words, he increased in wisdom and grace. That's what it means. So God's grace was upon Jesus. And note what it was doing, that he increased in wisdom and stature, in favour with God and men. We notice how he grew. He didn't grow in power, in wealth, which man wants. That is not how God worked with Jesus. There's a difference that we see there. And also, if we turn to the Gospel of John, we're looking at grace. I'm just selecting a few scriptures here, just to give us some understanding of this working of grace in your life and my life. In John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17. Verses 16 and 17 of the Gospel of John chapter 1. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So if you like the teaching, the gospel, the good news of grace came through Jesus Christ. And he says quite clearly, of his fullness we have all received, from grace for grace. So the grace of God has now empowered you, filled you with the fullness of Almighty God. The Godhead dwells in you. And that is profound, isn't it, brothers and sisters? We're still trying to get our minds and hearts round that. But the grace of God is essential for that experience. We find that grace is found in our ministries, how God uses us. For example, in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 4 and verse 33, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There we are. So as they appropriated, as they were witnesses to the resurrection, which was absolutely essential at that time, they were witnesses that Christ, that God had raised Christ from the dead. In order for them to proclaim that and write this out, which we hold as the Gospels, great grace was upon them all. So it was the grace and mercy of God that the Gospels were written as they were, for our learning, for our experience, and so on. So there we see grace is essential for our ministering. And we also see in Scripture that faith gives us access to this grace. So we have to believe also. As well as God blessing us and bestowing grace upon us, we also have to believe on this grace as well, God's grace. For example, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. Romans chapter 5. And verse 2, well actually we'll take it from verse 1 in Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we see how essential faith is in order for us to stand in this grace, so that we can stand and we can walk by faith and wait for the glory of Almighty God. So I think, brothers and sisters, we're beginning to understand just how important not only experiencing but knowing from the Scriptures the grace of God and how God ministers his grace. It's so often just used in words, but it's essential that we understand this. So going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, which we are looking at today. So the Apostle Paul says here to the church, we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. You see, the grace here that Paul is speaking of is to encourage to work, to keep ploughing, to keep your hands upon the plough, to keep moving forward, not looking back, to be used of God. You see, we don't receive his grace just to simply become passive, to sit back on our laurels, but to work with him. That is what the grace of God is, and that is very much what the Apostle Paul is saying here to the church. In other words, it's like you're going out to mow your lawn and you've got a young son or daughter who wants to come and help you mow that lawn. You don't put them off, even though they might be slow or they could possibly get in the way. You don't do that. You encourage them. You're encouraging them to work. And they're watching you as you work because they want to do it. And so we get this analogy of the grace of God through Jesus Christ. We're working with him. If we're one with him and he's one with us, then we work together. You don't go contrary to the way the Holy Spirit leads and guides. And he doesn't put us off. Sometimes we can get in the way, or we mess it up, or we try to take over or control. And there is the grace of God working, helping, encouraging us, so that the grace of God is not given in vain, so that we just become passive or we just sit back and let other people do it. No, we work with him. In other words, we don't neglect our partnership with him. We're not going to let him do all the work. But as we see him working, so I follow him. I follow his example. And that is how the early church moved in apostolic power and anointing. They were sensitive to the Holy Spirit's ministry and the way he was moving. And they saw their responsibility to work with him. And that's what it means here. And it takes the grace of God in which to do that. I think some of us still are just standing back and waiting for some anointing or power before we'll do something. Now, of course, we don't step out in the flesh. We move with the Holy Spirit. And to move with the Holy Spirit, you have to be one with him, close to him, and in fellowship. That is the key to all of this. You see, God has shown us that the bride is making herself ready in these last days. We get the analogy of this in Revelation 12 of the man-child. But she's doing that with him. The bride's making herself ready by the grace and mercy of God. She's not in a passive state, but she is moving with him. And you need to move with God. Yesterday is gone, is history. Have we been walking today with the Lord? Have we heard him? Are we aware of his grace and mercy upon our lives? Am I doing it on my own, or am I aware of his divine presence with me, in me, and through me? That is the question. Because that is how the early church walked, and that is how in the last day, before Jesus comes with the bride, that is again how the church will walk in faith, apostolic faith, working together with him. And the key to this is the grace of God. So that is how the bride's making herself ready, by his grace. But are we receiving it? That's the question. Or is it in vain? As the Apostle Paul says, I plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. In other words, in blindness, not understanding, doing it in your own strength, because you will fall flat on your face. In other words, are you barren? Are you unfruitful? Or are you bearing much fruit because you move and walk and have your whole being with the Holy Spirit, as you are one with him and he's one with you? We've already shown you that back in 1 John 16 and 17. Of his fullness we have received. So the question I raise to you, brothers and sisters, the grace you had yesterday will not be sufficient for today. So don't look back at certain times where you were used or whatever it is. Praise God, that is a blessing. But that experience with God's grace working will not be repeated. God does not regurgitate. Every day is a new experience of the grace and mercy of God working in and through me. That's the question. Now, one thing we have to learn through what I've been raising today is that you can always draw upon his grace. The Apostle Paul sought the Lord, and God said to him, as we know very well, my grace is sufficient. But he had a thorn in the flesh, and he said, my grace is sufficient. Now the question I'm raising today, do you draw on the grace of God? That is the question. Are you drawing from his grace? If the Apostle Paul had to draw from the grace on the grace of God, well, in many ways, how much more we? And yet, do you understand that? Have you experienced that? Have you called out for that? Do you know that to be an experience in your life? That's the question. Because the early church were walking by the grace and mercy of God. And I'm not sure that this contemporary age and church that we have really understands the grace of God and calling upon his grace. The question is, are you failing this? You see, don't say, I will endure this. This is my cross. Yes, we have our cross. And yes, we are to take our own cross up daily and follow him. And that can only be achieved and done by the grace of God. Are you finding the cross difficult? Are you not understanding really what the cross is in your life? Or are you finding the burden, the cross, just getting so heavy There you call upon the grace of God in that time. Or are you doing it in your own strength? You're failing to do this. This is why I keep saying, part of the deeper life teaching that we preach is letting go. Fear will not let go. And that's why the enemy tries to oppress and hold us in fear. And that is why God is delivering us and giving us a heart and spirit and nature like Joshua and Caleb, who said we're well able to take the giants of the land, to enter the promised land. If you're not willing to let go, if you don't call upon the grace of God to help you to do that, you will fail this. You will not understand the grace of God. Because what you will do, you will endure it. And you will say this is faith. And you will say this is the grace and mercy of God. It isn't. It's you digging your heels in. And in the grace and mercy of God, very often he has to bring us to the end of ourselves to show us that it takes his grace to preserve and keep us in whatever situation we find ourselves in. That the Apostle Paul had to experience that as he sought the Lord about this thorn in the flesh. And once he was able then to settle it, he was able to let go, he was able to rest when God said, "My grace is sufficient." And that's what the grace of God does. It enables you to rest in your situation. Because God never makes a mistake. So how do we draw on this grace then? Well, do we say, I'll draw on the grace of God later, or when I get some time, or at the moment I'm just too busy, or whatever? Well, this is where our prayer life comes in. This is where we daily have to seek God in our closet and get before him. The Apostle Paul showed this, didn't he, in verse 5. In stripes, imprisonments, in tumults, in labour, sleeplessness, in fastings. Look at all of that, plus all the burden of the church, imprisonments, you name it. Oh, he needed to experience the grace of God, the same as we do. See, Paul drew from this, from God. He had learnt to draw this grace from the mercy and grace of God. He was aware God's grace was ministering to him through trial and tribulation, or whatever it was he was going through. And God wants to do the same with you and I. You see, this is what makes our Christian walk a miracle. Because the Christian walk, the Christian life, is a miraculous life. It's not a normal life. It's not a life like the world lives. And that's why Satan tries to keep us worldly. He tries to keep us bound in this world because he doesn't want our lives a miracle. He doesn't want the world seeing that our lives are a miraculous life. There is something supernatural about us. The devil doesn't want the world to see out there that we stand through trials and tribulations, through rejection, lies, and all the things that go on. Or when the enemy tries to attack us in our bodies, or whatever it is. You have been saved to show the world that you are a miracle in the hands of Almighty God. And that power, that witness, that testimony has to be restored back to the Christian church. And this is the key to it, brothers and sisters, is the grace of God. How do you think those early Christians, when you read in the book of Acts, the martyrdom, the persecution, how the Romans made fun of them, butchered them, they drew on the grace of God. A power took over in their lives that raised them above this world, threats, onslaught, you name it. It's supernatural. And what does the grace of God do with us? We take it all the knocks, without a fuss. In other words, we're not prima donnas, wanting our own way. God's grace enables us, in whatever situation, whatever we find ourselves in, whatever, we don't make a fuss. Because grace is anchoring. Grace has taken over. It is that powerful. What does it say in verse 10? As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. That is grace in operation, brothers and sisters. What the apostle's saying here. These are not just words he's said, talking about. That is his witness. That is his experience. He's reminding the saints that is his life. And they know it. They see it. What are they seeing? They're not really seeing the apostle Paul. They're seeing the grace of God in operation. When God's grace is seen, then his glory is seen. And that is what makes our life and walk a miracle. You know, grace helps us remain faithful in the midst of trials, temptations, you name it. Are you finding it difficult walking this walk? Is the world becoming strong? The world's ways? Call on God's grace, because that grace helps us to remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of any trial that he permits us to go through. There are many times that we come to the end, we feel we cannot take any more. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. We call upon God's grace. But the trouble is, we don't do it, brothers and sisters. And when you start to call on that grace, you're going to find something supernatural, miraculous, starting to work in your life. You will begin to see that only God can do this. And he gets all the praise and all the glory. Why is it such a problem in the churches today? It can even be a problem in FGA. Well, we've got a clue to this as I bring this to a conclusion. James tells us, you know this verse very well. James chapter 4. The book of James. James chapter 4. And verse 6, James 4 and verse 6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And that is a lot of the problem. It is still that pride. and that pride will not let go. That pride will not admit that I need to call for God's grace. I will do it in my way and my time and in my strength. And that is why God, in his grace, is working with us, bringing us to the end of ourselves with those areas, those mindsets. Those hindrances often are because of pride. So, allowing God to deliver us from this pride, to keep us in that bowed state in his presence, because that's what we have to do. It's a continual keeping our knees bowed in his presence each day, that he delivers us. He finds that way of escape. We experience the grace of God that enables us to go on. I'm making a lot of this, brothers and sisters, because I am becoming more and more aware that this race that we're in, we're coming up to the final lap. And the final lap is the hardest. Because when that bell rings, when they're in a race, then you begin to see the runners. And you begin to see the ones who have that extra strength, who've been reserving that strength, ready for when that bell rings. And that final lap then sorts out those who have listened, who've trained, who have learnt, and those who haven't. I'm reminded of the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise, the 5 foolish. It is so easy to let go in this last lap. It is so easy when we find that we're getting tired. I've been running for a long time. I don't know whether I've got enough energy to make it into that last round, that last lap. Where there you call on the grace of God. And all those that will win this race as overcomers have had a revelation of calling on the grace of God, which is our strength. It was grace that called us at the beginning. It was grace that gave us that faith to believe and to confess upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is that grace that is going to get us home as overcomers. Don't forget that one. And the key to it, James shows us very clearly here. He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And when you do that, then you have the blessing of verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You can't resist the devil because you've not yet humbled yourself before the grace of God. So, I think we're beginning to see, aren't we, how important the grace of God is and how important this title is. Are you experiencing the grace of God? It is not just a theological teaching. It is our way of life. It is the Christian walk. It is the overcomer's walk. It is experiencing his grace in weakness, in temptation, in trial, in doubt, or when fear is trying to work, or when you are battling unbelief, or whatever it is, that grace is there. Are you battling in believing the promises of God? Somehow there still seems to be a brick wall. Then call on his grace, and he will work it. He will work everything and more so that you can walk this walk and glorify his name. I do not believe we can glorify the Lord unless we call upon his grace and upon his mercy. It is so essential in these last days. And the only ones that are going to experience this grace, this mercy, are those who humble themselves before Almighty God. Because we're shown clearly, then he raises us up. And that raising us up so that we can get the devil off our back, we can resist him, is a supernatural power of God taking over in your life. And that is what we need. That is our experience with God. Everything that God does with us is not what the world does. It's supernatural. It's miraculous. And yet we still look to the world and trust so much in the world and try and mix faith with the things of the world. You can't. When God touches you, when God heals you, when God raises you up, or whatever he does, it is a miracle, it is a miraculous work. And it is always done by the grace of God. Jesus in his ministry revealed the grace of God as God's grace was upon his son. And we have received his fullness. And so if we have received his fullness, the fullness that was in Christ is the fullness that is in us. And that includes the grace that was upon him. The grace is upon you and me as well, that same grace. Are we drawing from that? And the only way you will draw from that is through a prayer life. It's as you come before God. It is also a very powerful prayer that we pray for each other. When we pray for our sister, our brother, that Lord, help them to experience your grace that will raise them up, that will strengthen them, and that will cause them to stand and not deviate. God will answer those prayers, brothers and sisters. So often still we get our emotions, our earthly things in the way. We're not always praying and calling upon the right things. So there the apostle reveals how he walked. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. He's very aware of that, and he's using himself as an example how he walks to show the difference between the grace of God in vain and the grace of God given by faith. In other words, experiencing it. That is what it means. And he's giving this out in the context of being used by God, working with God, being active, being fruitful, and so on. And when we learn this, brothers and sisters, when we start to call on his grace, we're going to start to see major breakthroughs in our lives, our ministries, and so on. Because what God does, you will see that grace, mercy did this. It's not us doing it. It's us working together with him and not independent of him. And as I finish with this, Do not go into any situation that you think is ministry where the Lord is not going with you. Stop. Don't go any further. As Moses said to God, unless your presence goes with us, then I am not going. He learned that. Let that always be instrumental in your walk and your ministry with God. If you are not in it, Lord, then I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to move into this situation. I will only go and be where you are and where you move, and I move with you also. And I can only do that by your grace. See, it even takes his grace in which to do that. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. Are you experiencing the grace of God? That is the question. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you never give up on us. You are always there to teach and show us more, or to remind us what maybe we have forgotten or we're not experiencing. Lord, it is so easy for us to do these things in our own strength and logic. But Lord, enable and help each one of us to call on your grace. Father, make us active. We want to move and work with you. We don't want to do anything independent of you, because there's no blessing. Father, whatever our situation, our trial, and some of our brothers and sisters are going through deep trial, may they learn to call upon your grace. For you've shown today that this grace is miraculous, it's supernatural. The world can't give this, only you can. Forgive us, Lord, that we can lose sight of these things. We need to be brought back, we need to be reminded, and we thank you, Father, for your word, the sword of your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit's ministry, who comes to teach us and lead us and guide us. May each of us, Lord, experience what we have heard today. For this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
The Lord, while he may be found. Mountains and hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and the trees of the fields will clap their hands, for he will.
Return to